text of Kovod HaMeis, the din of Kovod HaBriyos, that we discussed the Gemara learns it out later from the process of Lo Yitamo. Gemara is a whole sugya of Kovod HaBriyos, and the Yutes and Beis and Dach Kof HaMenalos is a very important sugya of Lo HaMeisah. The Gemara learns out from the process that a Kohen is prohibited to be Yitamo in the nation unless it's one of the Zion Nations. Lo HaMeisah, Lo HaMeisah, Lo HaMeisah, but then it says Lo Yitamo. What is the Lo Yitamo? So there's Machlokes Satanayim. Rabbi Shmuel says that it's a Rishus, he's permitted to be Yitamo for the Zion Craving. And we pass for a Rabbi Akiva that it's more than a Rishus, that it's a Chayim that he's obligated to be Yitamo. Why should he be obligated to be Yitamo? The Rishmuel says because of the mitzvah of Kovod HaBriyos, that if he's not going to attend the funeral of the Zion Craving, it will constitute a Bizoyan on Mech. So there's an obligation, there's a Chiyuv, one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, one of the Tayyag mitzvahs, is Kovod HaBriyos. So the Gemara understands where the Kavod HaChemda. Ma'adat is a din of Kovod HaMeisim, the Koshim is a din of Kovod HaChayim. That's how the Gemara understands. Kovod HaChayim is odd from Kovod HaMeisim. A lot of people have the attitude, Fakir. Once the person is dead, you have to have Kovod HaChayim. Well, it's a lie. You can remove alcohol. But that's...
But that's
the difference. Because I can't even believe, because the Musa you learn. But it's not that the Kavod HaMeisim. So the Gemara has one of the many aspects of Kavod HaMeisim is Loid L'Rosh Cheir Paisei. That you're not permitted to do mitzvahs in the presence of the Meis, because HaMeisim Chavshim, they're unable to fulfill any mitzvahs. So it's as if it's an embarrassment to them that you should learn Torah, or you should daven, or you should have tzitzis hanging out, or tefillin, or do any mitzvahs in a visible fashion. If a person has an avatar and it's under his shirt, that's okay. He's permitted to do mitzvahs in the presence. A person is thinking in the great Torah, that's permissible. But to talk in the great Torah, or to have it sit to south, or to wear it thrown out in an exposed fashion, that's prohibited in the presence of the maize because of Lari
Larosh.
Yes. So they asked Akhwain, how can they say to him? They recommended that they should say to him. How can they say to him? So they say that that's considered a Kavod HaMeis. That they shouldn't. They sit and learn Gemara with Mashah, that that's a Bizoyan HaMeis. But they say Tillin, that'll Kavod HaMeis, so that's
a good Torah.
They shouldn't just sit and read a newspaper. They should say to him.
If you keep on praying, I'll always say Torah by all of them, because a lot of states really are missed. A lot of states
even. Yeah. Mina, a tefillah that has a shaykhis with the mace, yeah. Some of that's okay. But some to daven shaykhis, but to daven mincha, that's prohibited. You have to walk away. So that's what the Gemara had on our daf. I think so. Yeah. Look it up, I thought that's the thing. That they're not permitted to have this to sell when they have a
name.
In the school, yeah. But
for
the name is not
permitted.
So the Gemara had on the Gimel on the days, on the third wide line from the top. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to talk in the presence of the Mason. I'm going to say, I'm going to tell the So the Gemara had two lashonos, what that means. The first one, one lashon was Lama, that would be the Torah Abu Mivad Yalma Leslam book. It's only to speak to the Torah, that's a way the Rosh Chayyar considered. That's to fulfill a mitzvah in the presence of the Mitzvah. But to talk about the business, politics, about the weather, that's not a prohibition. That's not a violation of Bizoyan HaMeis. And the other version of the Gemara was no. Lama, no, I feel a bit of the Torah. Kosh came in as Alma, to talk in the Alma, the presence of the Mitzvah. There's certainly Bizoyan HaMeis. If you just speak, you talk about politics and you just ignore the fact that there's a mitzvah, even to talk to me Torah, you think that that's a mitzvah? But what's so terrible? No, that's also a violation of Bizoyan HaMeis because of Loyla Rosh Chayyar Paisei doing a mitzvah. So this was the Shaila how we talk. The place is called Tamiz Gemara, Pasek Lavaltis, the Beneath Paskin, in the name of Rav Haigoyim, like the first Loshen, the Kula, that it's only prohibited Divrei Torah, but Dvorim Bialmo, Mila Bialmo, is Mutter. And then Tosis adds down another limitation, it's only first Dalar Amis, and Kutsu Dalar Amis is Mutter, and there Rebbe Kivega tells you to bring him to look in Bava Kama. Tosis in Bava Kama has a Hechocha to that. In the Yerudeya though, they quote this Tosis, but then they quote that the Tur quotes other Rishonim who disagree, and they pass them like the second Lashon of the Gemara, that it's prohibited both to speak Mila Dalma and to speak to the Torah. But they feel that there is a distinction. Just like the first lesson in the Gemara made a distinction that the Yisav only applies to the Dibrei Torah. No, we saw it all in the Dalma. But even the second lesson, even if you want to be Machmir, the two quotes other Gaonim. The three quotes are High Gaonim, the two quotes other Gaonim. You want to be Machmir like the second lesson, that even in the Dalma is Asur, but it's more Asur to say Dibrei Torah. So the two comes up with a compromise that the Shach quotes in the two. That to speak Dibrei Torah is prohibited even Chutz L'Dalaram. To feel the Snei Ameh, even Chutz L'Dalaram. And to speak Mila Dalma is only prohibited if you touch Dalaram.
But it's not supposed
to be. That's what's
called.
So compromise is the first Mila Lotion, not the second one.
And then the Shach quotes, what we mentioned last week, the Shach quotes in the name of the Mordechai, that if I'm in the same room with the Mage, even though I'm more than Dalaram is away, that has the same status as Turf Dalaram. So this distinction between Chutz Dalams and Turf Dalams only applies if we're not in the same room. We're outside. But it's in the presence of the Mage, the Snare Base. You don't say that if I'm in Manhattan, is the Mage in Long Island, so that's the Snare Base. I have no shackles with the Mage. Or if there's a Levi down the block, and I'm not attending the Levi, I'm taking care of my own business, so that's not called the Snare Base. But if I have a shackles with the Mage, I'm going to this funeral, I'm waiting for a Hesed, or I'm going to do a Tara or something, so I have a shaykhus with the Mage. And even if I'm Chutz L'Dalaram, if that's called the Snei Ameh, even though you're Chutz L'Dalaram, so the Mechaber writes that it's also to speak to the Torah of the Snei Ameh, and he doesn't give the limitation of Torah L'Dalaram or Chutz L'Dalaram. So the Shach says that that's the Shittas HaGreinim that's quoted by the Tour, that the Great Torah with Machmer, that it's also even Chutz L'Dalaram.
Mutal Allah
of the Kavra. Mutal Allah of the Kavra. It's a different concept. Yeah. Yeah, that's a different concept. But here,
what's the company
that you first had in the Mutal Allah?
No, they're
not there yet. No, I can see the Nais and I'm there and I have a Shaykhus with this Nais. But if I see the Nais or the Yara and I have no Shaykhus, I'm walking to the yeshiva, and there's a Levi. You know, I can't attend every Levi. There's a Chlonos on Levi yeshiva I attend. The other people have Levi's, I can't attend. New York City is a big city. But just because I happen to see the Aron and I happen to see a Levi. No, if they don't see the Mesa, it's not the Snei Ameh. Yeah, if they see the Mesa. No, if the Mesa's in the chapel and they're outside, it's still not the Snei Ameh. But let's say the Mesa's outside and they're also outside. So that's the Snei Ameh. Even though it's Chutz L'Dalaram. It's coming within view. Yeah, within view. And I have a shaykhus with the Mesh. If it's within view and I have no shaykhus, I'm walking on my way. It's not permitted to talk to me there. I have no shaykhus with the Mesh. Because women are not looking for one player. I don't know. I don't think so.
That's
what they should have. No, that's the Muslim. They just say, the Achranim say, that many Rabbanim had the practice of saying Hespedim, so they went into long fulfillment in order to show the Olam that they know they're Harizim. So they say that that's improper. Unless you're saying all the Dibre Torah from the Mesh himself, but saying something that really has the Shaykhus within it. It's not to go into a long fulfillment that really has very little to do with it, so that's not proper. Okay, that's what we learned last week. Zuda probably is covered. The Zuda always is covered. I mean, if you have a parsha that's exposed.
I mean, the Zuda the way it is.
No one's doing any mitzvah. The paper alone. The person is wearing it, even though he's past it.
If the big white suit is hanging there,
no. To actively sit and learn from the paper, that's prohibited in the presence of the man. No, I don't think so. If a person, let's say, is maharib the divrei Torah, so that's not noticeable. But if a person is noticeably looking in a sefer, let's say I'm waiting for a levaya, and I'm going to look in a gemara as I'm waiting. Master didn't come yet. The yoram is there, and everybody's sitting away. So it's in the same room, it has the status of first alaram. So the holiday should be prohibited. But to sit alone in the sefer, I think, is also. You know, you're not going to pronounce any word. It's noticeable, doesn't it? But if I'm thinking in my mind, but that's not noticeable, so that's not a regular rush. Like if you have the teachers in the tool cover, that's permissible. Probably even if you have the mezuzah exposed, it wouldn't be an issue, because no one's doing an actual maisa on this. I think the issue only is if someone is doing the kumbi yasei, maisa on this, when the president's been
in
the
kitchen.
Right, he's alive and he has the ability to do it, and the mace can do it. Yeah, that's another reason to eat on the cemetery is another reason. The separate both of the rush. Both of the rush, but it's not a leg rush because of the bracha. It's a leg rush to eat or drink on the cemetery, to have a party on the cemetery, to eat your food. You have to also go away Galad on this when it's burning. Look at the this is
Muslim.
In Galad on this, all that's burning, So now the Gemara picks up the part of the thing that we discussed before. The Gemara previously had quoted the thought, the Chatzos, Laila, Ochum, the Holdus, Lachal, Mishpatei, Sishkecha. The Gemara now breaks up at Chatzos, and the other part in Tehillim says, Kozmu, Einai, Ashmurais, that he wakes up two Ashmurais before everybody else. So the Pashim Shat was that he wakes up at Chatzos, and Dalet, Mishmar, Hadi, Laila, and from Chatzos to the end of the night, is Ashmurais, the two Ashmurais. So the Gemara said, the Gemara gave a whole tarot, what are you going to do according to the other time of it? The whole night there's only three Ashmurais, three Mishmarat Avi Alayla, so how does it say, Kodma Ein Ashmurais? So now the Gemara is picking up that thing. You mean to say, the dove is the Pazad Elel Yehavi Koi. You mean to say, Dove and Amel used to wake up at midnight. That's how we assumed before, Kodma Ein Ashmurais. How does it say, Chatzos Laila Okum, I wake up at midnight. Craig the Gemara. Meyurta Havikoi, he stayed up in the beginning of the night. The pasuk says, Kidamti ba neshev ha'ashaveya. And neshev means the whole night. He starts crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the night. And he might die neshev urtum, how do you know that the word neshev means nighttime? You see, the pasuk says, the neshev era the omnishon laila lafeir. You see that the word neshev means night. And it says, Kidamti Banesh means in the beginning of the night. Doesn't mean in the middle of the night, it's called Kidamti. Kidamti means he's Magdim. He's Magdim to Daven Takarish Rachel from the beginning of the night. Sounds like Kidam is Magdim. Beginning of the night, right after the Shkir, right after the Tzik, whatever. Right away. So what do you say that he wakes up at Chatzos? It sounds like he's Daven to the Banesh Rachel the first half of the night also. And for the Gemara, Enachanami, that's what it means. Amar Aboshi, Amar Abache, Hachi Kamar. The Pshat in this Pasuk of Chatzos Laila Okum, it does mean I wake up at Chatzos. This Mandama claims that it means Lo Yovar Alai Chatzos Laila Bishino. Enachanami, he didn't sleep. It's not that he slept the first half of the night, then he wakes up the second half. The Gemara later says, another Mandama says that it's not so. The Gemara later is going to quote that he did sleep the first half of the night, and then the wind was blowing his heart and wake him up. That's another mandama. But this mandama is working on the assumption that it's not so. So what is the so what's significant about Chatzos? If he's up in the beginning of the night, so what's significant about Chatzos? It means he starts to sing Tilim after Chatzos. Before Chatzos, he's doing other things. Davening. He's davening Banesh of Hashavei. He's davening Maariv. He's doing other things. He's learning. Okay? Okay, when he slept is a problem. But the Gemara has a spirit. That this pasuk says that he's davening at the beginning of the night, means that he has activities the first half of the night. The other pasuk says the whole routine begins in Chatzos. The Gemara says no, the reciting of Tehillim begins in Chatzos. Before Chatzos, he didn't say Tehillim. Well, Hashem says he's davened other things. And the Tillim, he starts saying after Hashem. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that they hate to quote them. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you have all the dinim of Shachris, then you have the dinim of Mincha later, then you have the dinim of Meiris, and then it says the dinim of learning Torah at night. After the Hilchos Meiris has the dinim of learning Torah at night. It says it's important that everybody should learn at night. The Gemara in the end of Talmud says that how significant it is to learn at Rosh Hashanah, she gives to take charge. And all day long, people are busy in the office, whatever, they're making a living. And at night, that's the question, what do they do with their spare time?
But some people watch television. And the other people go to the theater. The other people go to the movies, whatever. So if a person learns Torah in spare time, that's what he wants to speak about the significance of learning Torah at night. Means when he has free time. What does he do with the free time? Does he waste it away or does he learn Torah? So the Gemara speaks about how important it is to learn Torah. So the Be'er Heitiv quotes in the name of the Chachmei HaKabbalah that if a person wants to learn Torah Shebichtav, he should learn it after in the daytime. He shouldn't learn at night. There's a sixth that says that while Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, that on top of Har Sinai, how did he know when it was daytime, when it was nighttime? I don't understand exactly what the question is. Why put him on top of the mountain? I don't know, but that's what the sixth asked that question. Oh, maybe? Okay. So the sixth answer is because in the daytime the Rabbeinu Shalom taught him Torah Shebichtav. And at nighttime the Rabbeinu Shalom taught him Torah Shebichtav. Because if the Torah Shebichtav was given the Midas Hadin. And Torah Shabbat says, Midas HaChesed. The Baal HaTanya has a lot about that. Torah Shabbat Tzav is very, very strict. And then the Torah Shabbat shows us the way one could be more lenient. Like it says, Hayim Tachasayim. Sounds horrible, Hayim Tachasayim. The Torah Shabbat says it doesn't exactly mean that. And several other psukim like that. Torah Shabbat Tzav says, Abraham Yakenu. You hear 40 times longer. Torah Shabbat Tzav says, not exactly. It chisels it off a little bit. Never 40, it's less. And a lot of times even less than 39. So the Baal HaTanya has various mishalim to demonstrate that this is so. The Torah Shebichtav was given the Midas Adin, and the Torah Shebichtav was the Midas Achesed. So just like it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's not proper to recite Tachanun Balaylo. Let's say the Hasidim who daven Mincha very late, so they don't say Tachanun by Mincha. It's totally the other day. Why don't the Hasidim say Tachanun by Mincha? They never say by Mincha, because they always daven Mincha so late, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch, but you're not allowed to say Tachanun Balaylo. So Tachanun is Ma'ir of Midas Adin. And by Lilo, whatever this means, the Midas Adin is Sholei, they're not supposed to recite Tachanun. So too, that's what the Sikta says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, because his brother taught him Torah Shebichtav by Yom. But at night, they didn't teach him Torah Shebichtav, because Lilo is the Midas Adin is Sholei, so just like you're not supposed to say Tachanun, so you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichtav. So that's what they call this Gemara. So when do you say Tilim? Hefech HaSoyis HaLilo. It's like when we say Shlichus. You're not supposed to say Shlichus the first half of the night, because David HaMelech wasn't composing the Tillim. He wasn't reciting the Tillim either the first half of the night. He only recited all the Tillim in the second half of the night. First half of the night, he was learning Torah about Fagin. I don't know. That's what the behavior of the Tillim. Yeah, the Taz says that during Ben HaShmoshes, he do say Tachman. Only when it's Beit HaKachavim. Yeah, Erev Shabbos Yom Yom Yom. But if you say Tav Tachon. When Mincha you could daven during Ben HaShmoshes, but by the time you finish Mincha, it looks like it's Tav Tachon already. So then the Taz... No, that's the Masoi Shabbos purposes, so the Machmer to add on to Sefer Shabbos. So we have an extended period of time of 45 minutes. But Beis HaTochavim, many Tosfos hold much earlier than that. But when the Zohar holds, it's much less than that. Yeah. But I finally add that. Another 5-6 minutes after the Zohar. But it's nothing near 45 minutes, much, much less. You have to look on the chart, the F chart. When is Manon of Beis HaTochavim on? Yeah. Partially we discussed it a few weeks ago. Partially based on is mainly based on the Zohar. The Zohar speaks a lot about we spoke about it on Omer Aleph.
After Chatzos is no problem.
That's what it sounds like. But the Melech was saying too. After Chatzos.
The whole issue of
I think the Behetiv writes that you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichtav at night before Chatzos, except for Friday night. Friday night, Shabbos, Yom Tov and so on, that's okay. Or Thursday night. Because Thursday night can be Mavis said it. Yeah. I don't understand what changed that. Shabbos and Yom Tov, I can understand a little bit what changed. I don't know. That's really close. But Thursday night, you can be Mavis said it. But the other night, he said it's not proper to study Thursday night. If the alternative is not to learn at all, because then it's something to be legal to learn Torah Shabbat. The alternative is to learn Mishnah, to learn Gemara, to learn something else. Torah Shabbat. Okay. And then we could go on the stage and study Parish of Altair, the first day of the month. I don't know, apparently the Midas Adin is not Shema Adin. That's why we say Tachman also. When we say Slichas, it's the second half of the night. They say Slichas, we say Tachman. I don't know. I guess you have to put the two together. Abzei Rama, Abzei says, Atka toys lailo hayim isnam in kisut. He was napping a little bit, Tavar HaMelech. Mikan v'yelo hayim is gabi kwari. So how does he resolve the steer between the two psukim? The first pasuk says that he has activities in the beginning of the night also. So what was that? What was he doing? So Rashi says, see the Rashi, Misnamin Katsus.
Yeah, only 17 years.
Artik Batarik Misnamin. What's happening? He's learning while he's half asleep. The Pasuk doesn't say he was learning. The Pasuk says Vashaveya, he was dominating. I don't know. So Rashi is not learning, that's the next tickle of Gemara. I don't know. Gemara says the next mandama says like that. Vashiyama, Atchatzai Slaiva Hayotu, but Bidei Beitam, Kamiyam, Bishiris, 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 that's the end. After Chatzai, Chatzai gives up Tilim. Before Chatzai, he's learning, Tereshiv Alpeh. After Chatzai, he's learning, Tereshiv Chatzai. But I don't understand what the first mandama says. Atchatzai Slaiva Mishlamim Tatsus, but it says he had activities with the Rabbani Shalom, so Rashi says he was learning Torah in the state of Nisan. I don't know, Rashi blend it together, I don't know the Pshat in the yeah. Can a person learn Torah in the middle while he's half asleep? Not sleeping that much. But he's still drowsy. So how could David HaMelech learn while he's drowsy? He's mumbling in his sleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes you sit down before you
move. Okay. Okay. Greg the Gemara Akasha Vineshef Utahu in presenting this kasha about Chatzos as the first of the beginning of the night, so he quoted a theory between the two scoops, the Pasuk in Tehillim and the Pasuk initially, that one Pasuk says, Shavah HaMelech begins at Chatzos, Chatzos Lala Okum, he wakes up at Chatzos, another Pasuk says, no, he doesn't wake up at Chatzos, from the beginning of the night he's davening. So he quoted that Pasuk was Vineshef, Kidamti Baneshef Ashaleh, Kidamti Baneshef is, at the beginning of the night. Great Big Mar, who says Neshef Urtu? Neshef means night. And Neshef Tafru, we know from another pasuk that Neshef means the morning. The Ksiv, Ayat and Dabin, Neha Neshef, the Yad Ha'ered, Limach Rasham, the Dabin HaMelech was fighting with the enemy from the morning till the evening of the next day. So you see that Neshef means morning and Ered means evening. My Labi Tafru Ba'Leona. So Kvashat Shat. See, you say that Neshef means Kitamti Baneshev Ashaveya, you presented a kasha before you said Neshev means night. Here you have a pasuk that Neshev means morning. That means morning. And for the Gemara, no. My love again. Gemara says, my love. Mitzaf about that. Gemara says, no. Meur to the Adurta means he was fighting with his enemy from one evening till the next evening of the next day. Mea Neshev Adurta Machrosim. From one evening to the evening of the next day. Take the Gemara. So why does the pasuk change the lashon? Bihachi lista meha neshev yada neshev, hay meha erev yada erev. So obviously neshev is not the same as erev, or the pasuk wouldn't switch the lashon. Just say lemachrotam. And what my rabbi know, the pasuk really means from the morning to the evening of the next day, you know, there's a day and a half. A day and a half he was fighting with the enemy. And in this context, the word neshev means morning. The word neshev means to jump. Like, buka diatma deshof meduchte. Rashi HaChumash quotes that from the Gemara. Shaf means that something jumped out of its place. The Neshef means when the night jumps into the day, when the day jumps into the night. The Neshef either refers to the beginning of the night, when it becomes dark, or the beginning of the day, when the dark goes away and the sun starts to shine. So there are there are two times in the day that are called Neshef. One is Neshef Laila Vati Imamah, when the night jumps away and the day comes. And one is Neshef Imam, Vasi Lelgi, when the day jumps away and the night comes, so they're both called Neshef. So sometimes you have a pasuk that speaks of Neshef as referring to the beginning of the night, and sometimes it refers to the beginning of the day. But then the other pasuk that says, Kidamti ba Neshef Ashaveya, It doesn't mean that he wakes up in the morning. It's not means from the beginning of the night, he's down in Sarkovich Bowl. Refers to the beginning of the night. Says the Gemara under Kasha. It says that David HaMelech wakes up at Chatzos HaLaila to say he's sick in Chatzos. Chatzos Laila opens. Says the Gemara, how did he know when it's Chatzos HaLaila? Obviously he knew. At a clock. He set the alarm clock and he woke up at Chatzos. Says the Gemara, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater novice than David? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know how to figure out when Chatzos is, and David HaMelech could figure it out. David knew how the other part of the Lelia, Amos. Is that possible? But David HaMelech knew when Chatzos was. Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater novice. Lo Havior, that this is Chatzos HaLaila and Yosef B'Sef Mitzrayim. What does mean Chatzos HaLaila? About Chatzos. My Chatzos. Why did he say Allah from Chatzos? If you should say that that's what the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the message that he delivered to Paro. That the Rebbeinu Shalom said, I had a practice somewhere around Chatzos. So the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't know. He should have said 12:05. Should have said exactly what time? Why did he say approximately at Chatzos? Even with Yom Lab, which should be equal to Chatzos, the Rebbeinu Shalom said approximately. No, that cannot be. Nikos, Deku, Kamishma, Makas, Chatzos, took place at Chatzos. Exactly at Chatzos. So why did the Rebbeinu Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu it was going to happen approximately? Hell no, the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu the Makkah is going to be at Chatzos. But Moshe, when he delivered the message to Paro, he changed it. He said approximately at Chatzos. Why did he say Chatzos? Because he knew that Moshe knew that he would be unable to figure out exactly when Chatzos is. He was afraid that Paro would ask him, tell me exactly when it's going to be Makkah Chatzos, he wouldn't be able to tell him. He said approximately at Chatzos. So you see, Alma Misafkelei, you see Moshe Rabbeinu had no way with the Kerchan, he had no way to figure out when Chatzos is, so how come David knew?
We know in days when we have clock, you know?
As the generations go on, so you develop science more. So maybe in the days of David, I'm not that scientific.
I don't know.
Yeah? The Gemara assumes that they didn't have any clock. That science had not yet sufficiently developed itself, even in the days of David HaMelech. So the Gemara assumes, okay. I see, sir. So the Gemara assumes that David HaMelech figured out with the Kerach and the Vuhr. The Gemara asks Vuhr, Moshe Rabbeinu is a greater novice than David HaMelech, how can it be? Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure out with the Kerach and the Vuhr. And for the Gemara, no. David HaMelech couldn't figure it out either with the Kerach and the Vuhr. The Gemara says, David Simona Havale, he had a simon, not with his own Kerach and the Vuhr. He had a clock, that's it. Yom Rabach Babi, Yom Rab Shimon Chassidah, he know how you told him the Malam, and he told us to David, he had a heart right hanging above his bed. He came to Shigia Chassoy, Talayla exactly at Chassoy, Boruch, Svayin is going to shed his boy, so a special wind would start blowing, and that heart will then again lay a log, and then would start to play. So it's not that he had a Kerach and a Vuhr. This happened every night. He would wake up at Chatzos. This mandama holds, this is the thing he holds, that he did sleep. And he literally woke up at Chatzos. The one before, one of the mandama courses, no. He was up all night, and he was learning Kerach about Ped before, and then he said Tilim. He composed the Tilim in the second half of the night. But this mandama says, no, he was really sleeping. And the Kina woke him up at Chatzos. When it would come the morning, he was the king of the Jewish people, so we would have to talk about the political situation of the state of the country, how things are going. Every day they would start talking about Parnas and so on. You might describe it as if this happened every day. Once in a long while it happened that they had to go to war. Every so often they had to go to war. The price is presented as if this was the routine. Every single day they discuss how they're going to make a panos. The
situation.
The
Dalai
Lama says, let's go to war.
You said it
was... Some of the day after
dying. Maybe they haven't seen you. Then they sat down to question. They have a discussion.
It was too early to catch
you. I don't know.
Oh, thank
you. I don't know. So the Gemara says, Nitzel Shilchach Mishra, let's flow. The leaders of the nation come to present to the David HaMelech their problems. Omelah, the name of HaMelech, Anki Yisrael, Tzichim Parnas. I mean, it once happened that they presented this problem. That the Jewish people are poor, that there's no Parnas.
Just an example?
Those
matters of state every
time? Yeah. And on one occasion, this was the flow of the discussion. On one occasion, this is what happened. They said they have a problem with Parnas. They said, look, who is his Parnas? Everyone should manufacture some wares, and they should sell it to each other. like the capitalist system.
Yeah.
Everyone should make up on us and then lend each other do business and stuff. So he says, no, I'm relying, so he tells David, I'm not, okay, not paying this man's DSRV. Not enough. Can't just give a little tiny cookie to a big lion. A lion is a big animal, and he needs a lot of people. So the Jewish nation has so many Aniyim, just because his promise to them is that won't be enough. They not brought this man Michal Yatra. Also, what exactly does that mean? So Rashi intelligence has two translations. Rashi says that if you dig a bore, if you have an empty ditch already, you have an empty ditch, and then you dig a little bit, let's say I have a ditch that's 6 feet deep, then I dig a little bit and I take it out and I throw that little ditch back in. But that's not going to fill up the bore anymore. It was a big ditch to begin with and I just dug a little bit. So that's what it means. If you already have a bore and you dig out a chulia and you throw that chulia back in, it's not going to fill up the whole bore. If you have a flat ground and you dig a hole and then throw everything back, that is going to fill up the hole.
Sure,
it's going to be more. But I mean, if you have a bore that's dug already and then you dig out an additional chulia, throw the chulia back, the chulia is not going to fill up the whole bore. That's what Rashi says. The Talmud has a different shot based on a lashon ha'tosefta. Based on the lesson of the Medrash that was, Chulia means a bore where there's water flowing, a mayon, where there's a source of water from under the ground. So the bore normally does not get filled up to the top with the water. It fills a little bit on the bottom. Whatever the lesson is, what it means is that it's not going to work. The best system is not going to work to supply Parnassa for the Jewish people. So what should they do? They say, I'm a fish can grow, so they have to wage war. And give jobs to people and take money from the enemy. Give jobs to people to manufacture munitions and to pay the soldiers and so on. So that'll be up on us. What kind of a war is this? This is not a Mohammed Smith, this is a Mohammed Sarashus. This is a Mohammed Sarashus. What kind of money do you Mohammed Sarashus? Just go murder people in order to make a little panas? Outright Ritzicha. So that's how long that if you have the approval of the Sanhedrin, if the Sanhedrin feels that it's warranted, it's not considered Ritzicha. It's outright war, it's outright Ritzicha. You're killing the enemy for no good reason, and you're killing the Jewish soldiers for no good reason. It's because you're Tanakh. That's not a sufficiently good reason. So that's not enough. If the Sanhedrin gives Rishus to wage war, to declare the Muhammad's Rishus, so we declare it as Muhammad and not as Ritzicha, and we say that it's Mutta. Muhammad is not the Ritzicha. But for that, you have to have the Rishus from the Sanhedrin of God. In order to wage a war on the Hamas, you don't need authorization from the Beis Magal. You just have to have the Jewish government that has a Jewish army, and then they can fight. If you have a Machin Yisrael, then you can fight the Hamas. If you don't have a Jewish government, you know, so let's say they appoint a Jew as the mayor of New York City, and he has a Jewish policeman. So that's called that's not called the Yiddish Medina with the Yiddish Machin Yisrael. It's a Jewish country over here. It just happens, just so happens that they have Jewish policemen and Jewish mayor. That doesn't mean anything. It means if you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael and they have a Jewish army, that's called the Machin Yisrael. This is the Hazan Israelites of it. And the Haganah, before 1948, didn't have a deal of Machin Yisrael. They didn't represent any Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. The British were ruling in Eretz Yisrael, and then these were Jewish terrorists who were trying to get the government away from us. So the Jewish terrorists were not sponsored by Jewish government. They wanted to establish a Jewish government. They didn't have yet before 1948. They won't begin to have the status of Mohammed or Yeshua or Mohammed's Mitzvah. You can't have either. You can't, let's say in Crown Heights when they were attacking the Lubavitcher Chassidim, so they all got together, what do you call it, the Maccabees, whatever. And they were fighting Shmira and they were fighting back. So that's called the Mohammed's Mitzvah. That's not called Mohammed's Mitzvah. The Hatzor Yisrael Miyad Zorro is grounds to wage war to have a Mohammed Smith. But if it's not a Yiddish, government, if it's not a Yiddish army, so how can you call Mohammed Smith? You have to do it. You have to do it for the sake of Hanavish, whatever is necessary to declare it as a Mohammed Smith or a Mohammed Smith. You have to adopt a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael that sponsors a Jewish army. And then it has a status of Machne Yisrael. There's a special Chal Hashem, Machne Yisrael.
Had the Jews and Lamad al-Nafshon, which was Shani, there wasn't a government, the Jewish government.
Lamad al-Nafshon, yeah. That's like Shmira Patrol, but that's not called the Chal Hashem, Mohammed Smith, or Mohammed Zoshus. It's legal. No. It doesn't say Avera Mitzvah. No, it just says, the Moshe, there's a Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Erezim. Where it says, I was born culture by Machman, that there are four kulas that apply in a Machman itself. You don't have to wash Mayim Rishayim before they eat bread. They can eat bread without washing it. And if they say, Kumenakula. There's a Hasera. So the Yerushalmi says, how many soldiers do you have to have together in one place? And you call the Machna, there's different opinions. So he's asking 10. Because Machna means like a double ship because you have to have 10 soldiers. So the Chazanisha says, it only has the status of Machna Israel if there's soldiers of an army, an official army, sponsored by a Jewish government in Eretz Israel. But Lot, you have a Haganah, he says, that's not a Machna. They have to doing a mitzvah to save people's lives. If that's what they were doing. It's a different thing whether they were doing right or wrong. He doesn't go into that. But just says they're not considered a Machna Yisrael. The word what? Yeah. What do you mean? Arms.
Arms.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were just
telling anybody to
break up
from us.
People who apparently were
on school and
even
called
in
person and put off against the Gedud of the enemy. Put them into Jewish Gedud. With the Gedud. You form a battalion of soldiers and get your soldiers to attack some nations, some nearby nations. Of course, the Gedud means the Yiddish Gedud. No? Fishing is there from the
Gedud.
No, but the thing is that you have a right even to wage war, Mohammed Shoshut, even against an enemy, even against a nation that didn't start up at all. They have no army law. But it has to have the approval of the Beznar Gobel to be declared as a Mohammed Shoshut. Once it's declared as a Mohammed Shoshut, that lists the Yisra Mitzicha, that lists the Yisra Sakona. You know what happened? You send a soldier to the army, a Jewish soldier to the army. How can you do it? So how the forces? For sure we know that some of you are going to get killed. What do we rely on? Listen, that no one's going to get killed. See, the soldiers always get killed. So how do you never? Why should you ever wage on Mohammed Sonshus? The answer is, but that's not like Mohammed Sonshus. Even though you know for sure you're going to kill the enemy, it's not an Isra Mitzvah to kill enough, but it's also an Isra Mitzvah. You want to lose lives of Jewish soldiers? It's not like once the Bezin declares it as a Mohammed Sonshus, then that lists the Isra Mitzvah and takes up the Isra Sakona. Right? Well, the Gemara learns that from the Pesukim that when you want to wage a Mohammed Sonshus, you have to have the approval of the Sanhedrin with the Urim Tumim. If you want to wage a Mohammed Mitzvah, you don't need the approval of the Sanhedrin. Yurim Betumim, the Ramban counts that as one of the titles in the Ramban has a list of mitzvahs where he disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam has to admit, you know, that they're not to be counted. The Ramban has in his mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count. The Ramban has certain mitzvahs that he's misupik about. So one of the mitzvahs in the end of the Minyan mitzvahs, one that he's misupik about is, he thinks that the Rambam should have added another mitzvah, so whenever he goes to wage war, then the Chumash, you have to consult Yurim Betumim. He says, whether it's a Mohammed Mitzvah or Mohammed Mitzvah, it's a Pesach in the Torah. Whenever you go to wage war, the Jewish people have to ask, even a Mohammed Mitzvah, they have to ask, like the Urim and Thummim, are we going to win? Should we fight? Should we do this? Should we do that? That's what the Ramban wrote. But Mukhari, that's not Nachis. That means if you have an Urim and Thummim, so there's a Mitzvah to ask the Urim and Thummim. If you don't have an Urim and Thummim, let's say this man is there. If you have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, you have a Jewish army, and you want to go away from Mohammed Mitzvah. So you have to go, there is no Sanhedrin, you don't need Sanhedrin for Mohammed Mitzvah, and there is no Urim and Thummim, so you can't go to wage war. No! If you have an Urim and Thummim, there's a mitzvah to consult. If you don't have to, you can't do that mitzvah. So it's not the Akiv of the Mohammed Mitzvah, but the Mohammed Mitzvah, it's not Akiv.
How could you have a Mohammed Mitzvah today?
Oh. Exactly, so you can't. Today you cannot have. Today you cannot have a Mohammed Mitzvah.
Only Mohammed
Mitzvah. Right, you can only have a Mohammed Mitzvah.
In the
Midbar,
from the
Mohammed Mitzvah,
from the
Midbar,
from the
Midbar, from
the Midbar, from the Midbar,
from the
Midbar, from the Midbar, from the Midbar, from the Midbar, from the
Midbar, from the Midbar, from the Midbar, from the Midbar,
they had to defend themselves. That's a good question. The Seder is first the Sanhedrin and then afterwards the Urim and Thummim. But the question is, once you have the Urim and Thummim, so why do you need the Sanhedrin in the first place?
I don't know. Have to control, maybe every time I don't control.
You
want to make a decision?
No.
I don't think so.
No, there's a coin.
You want to say you lose the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Chaimah. The Rambam seems to hold that the Sanhedrin continued till the days of Abai Barogah. There was a Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah at the end of the second paragraph that Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi HaRiyah continued in Eretz Yisrael till the days of Abai Barogah. And the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah in Yad HaZokah that the Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done dafka by the Bez Mazel. The Ramban argues with the Rambam on the high time. He says, what is he talking about? He himself quotes in the Yad HaZokah, the Rambam himself quotes. But they continue to do Kiddush HaChodesh HaTiyoriyah based on the seeing of the moon up until the days of Abai Barogah. He says the Sanhedrin was brought 40 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Because when the Bez Mazel left Lishkas HaGozis, so they no longer had the status of a Bez Mazel. So the Ramban finds, don't you see that you don't need a Sanhedrin to go, ah, it says the Beirish and the Mechilta that you need a Sanhedrin. No, it's not going to make a difference. If there is a Sanhedrin, then it's not proper that some three Rabban should get together and declare when a Shkodesh is going to be. How can you declare if it's going to get to God's quality Israel? Let the Sanhedrin declare, but it doesn't mean that the Sanhedrin is Mi'ikubit. If you all have a Sanhedrin, so the Ramban says, any Bezna Shloisha or Smuchim has the right to declare when the Shkodesh is. I don't declare one day, they'll declare another day, so whoever declared first, then whoever does your Shloisha declare first, and whoever, I don't know, that's fine. But the Rambam apparently holds not possible. What does the Rambam do with that kashim? Apparently the Rambam thinks that the din of Malama Shahamokam Goreng, that if the Bezna is not in the Lishka Sagrazes, they lose their status of Bez Nagoro, that's only for Zokin Mamre, and that's only for Dina Nefashis, but it doesn't apply to all other Dina, all other purposes of Bez Nagoro, they still do have. They still have, yeah?
Exactly.
The Urim Betumim means it's the highest level of Nevuah that you can possibly imagine. There are different levels of Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu was a greater number than the others, so we see that there are different levels of Nevuah. So normally the Gemara tells us, let's say a Navi says in the Vuhu of the Ra, he tells someone, you're going to die, the Moshe will tell me, you're going to die. And then if the fellow doesn't die, that shows that he's a Navi Asheker. So the Rambam quotes to the Gemara later in Masechta Shabbos, not yet, in Masechta Shabbos, no. That a Navi who says in the Vuhu of the Ra, it's always understood that it's contingent and is not being heard of the children. That in the Vuhu of the Ra can always change. And the Vuhu of the Taifa will never change. And if the Gershom gives him a bowl of favor, the Gershom says you're going to have a baby and so on, and the woman dies, she doesn't have a baby. Then it's a sin that he was a Navi Asheker. But if the Navi gives him a bowl of raw, and it doesn't come true, you don't say it's a sin that he's a Navi Asheker. You assume that it was contingent. So the Urim Tumim is the Gemara says in the next daf, the way Rashi learns the Gemara is cursing Divrayim and Divrayim Mufloim. That's the highest level of Nevuah. It's never Chayger, even in the bowl of raw. If you're in the tomb and will say something in the Ruah, it'll absolutely have to take place. It's assumed that it's not contingent. It's not Allah tonight. It's assumed to be the highest level of the Ruah. So in order to declare a Mohammed Rishus, in order to go fight the Mohammed Rishus, it's not sufficient to have the approval of the Bez Mavol. You have to have also the approval of the of the Urim Tumim.
They
don't have to change their mind. They don't go. It's market. If you don't have the approval of the Urim Tumim, you're not allowed to wage war by Mechamah Koshuv. So Mechamah's mitzvah, the Tashdus and Yidah, according to the Ramban, that he writes that it should be counted as one of the Tariyad mitzvahs. If you can do it, you do it. If you don't do it, you can't do it. So he didn't do that mitzvah of consulting Urim Tumim, but you still have to wage war by Mechamah Koshuv. Mechamah's mitzvah. By Mechamah Koshuv, the Urim Tumim is Nikula. If you don't have the approval of the Urim Tumim, so it was never declared Achal Hashem Mechamah Koshuv. That's an issue of Tikha. It's an issue of Tachonah for the Jewish soldiers, an issue of Tikha and the Asian soldiers. Also, it's still the same question. So why do you have to have first the consultation with the Sanhedrin? Why don't you just go straight to the Urim Tumim? Let the Urim Tumim say, I'll ask Urim Tumim, should we go to war? He says, yes. And then the Bezin will determine that most of the Jews don't want to go. But the Urim Tumim says, that's all.
You need a determination that the Jews, the Jewish people, they want to go to war.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they reverse the statement. Let's say first they consult the Urim and Thummim, should we go to war? And they said, yes, you should go to war. And then the Zayin says no. So the answer will be no.
That's right.
So the Urim and Thummim just says,
they have a right.
They give you permission.
Because they determine the perhaps determine whether they should go to Urim and Thummim to ask them once they get permission from the Urim. Once they get permission from the Urim. And there's a
clever they all go first. Yeah, you all go first. But his title was, so what if you, so why don't you first go to the Urim and Thummim? So he says, no, even if you go to the Urim and Thummim, the Urim and Thummim says, we declare this, if you want, you can go. Still, if the Bezin says they don't want to go, they don't go. Okay, nothing else.
But it's either halacha that the Sanhedrin is giving. Can you say, asking the Shaila, are we allowed to go? So then now, but the only thing you're doing is will you be much clearer?
No. You're returning, that's the second question. No. You find it in Navi that you have, that's what they ask two questions at a time. Yes, one at a time to the Yonatun. So the first question you have to ask is, do we have permission to go to war? So if he says no, it's no. Well, yes, then you ask the next question. If we go to war, will we win? So if he says no, so it doesn't say to go.
But Rashi,
yes, so then you have a right to go.
Rashi has Leibniz should take his following.
Rashi has a different Rashi has a different comment. So we're not the quote of Rashi. That you get the approval of the Bezna Gadol, that they should keep it, because I'll get my bracha. So that's what that funny quote, when a person goes on a big trip. Right, when a person goes to a big trip, on a big trip, so it says the minute is, and you go to a tzaddik, the extra bracha in advance, and it's based on this Rashi. The Rashi says, whenever you want to undertake some major enterprise, the person wants to go invest in a new business, or he wants to go travel and set up in a new country or something, so long as the extra bracha from the Talmud. The Talmud that was bothering Rashi at this, what do you need the approval of the Sanhedrin with the Urim and Thummim? If you have the Urim and Thummim, says go. So what do you need the Sanhedrin? There's no Sanhedrin, you stop bracha. It's leading out that Rashi. Right. Now, I'm going to point out this Rashi. That is a strange time. But the Pasuk Shas is not like the Rashi says, that they give up Roch, that the Sanhedrin has to give authorization. And the Urim and Thummim gives authorization. So he gave a good shot. And you need that both authorizations, they cover two different angles. Okay?
The Urim and Thummim say, you need the Roch.
The Seder is that they first go get the bracha from the tzaddik. Then, maybe since they got the bracha from the tzaddik and the bezin, then you're on the turn of the tzaddik. That what? Yeah. If the Sanhedrin before the Urim the Tumim, of course they wouldn't go against him. If you lose the approval of both, even if they will go against him, it's not going to happen. No, the Shad said yes before, which is a good question. Why do you need the Sanhedrin if you're going to have to think all the things, you're going to have to get the approval of the Urim the Tumim? So let the Urim the Tumim take care of everything. So yeah, these various suggestions. Rashi says, for heaven doesn't give authorization, they give up bracha. They misfollow for them. Okay, or the shot that he said, Yeah, the Gemara in the end of Yuma, next to the last parak in Yuma, gives you quite a few limitations. I have a shot of whether I should marry this girl, I should go to this graduate school, a private thing, so you can't consult Yuma, so it's not going to answer. It's only on things that are negate for the whole quality story. On cloud things. On cloud things. To screen the question. Yeah. It could be even more than humans. It doesn't have any limitations. Just say which people have a right to ask you only to mail us and then we'll show up more formal. The high officials, the high government officials who are responsible for the cloud, probably so. They have the right to ask you only to. The Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes these psukim, quotes this holy alfusa to indicate what is the state of Hadram of waging Mohammed Salashus. This is really a critique. Moses in Egypt points that this is a critique that the Chachamim had, that the Menashein had a criticism against David HaMelech. He didn't wage all Mohammed's mitzvah yet. He didn't conquer all of Eretz Yisrael yet. He's busy waging Mohammed Salashus. So the text is quoted to Lashon from the Sefer Tzomach of Palsu Shofar, Loher Rashto, right around the corner from your palace. You didn't conquer all the territories. They never conquered all the territories that are described in the Chumash. From Har Ahor, from Nachum Etzrayim, till Mahar Paras, all of that. They never conquered all those territories. So David HaMelech is busy waging Mohammed Toshus there and Aram Tovo, other areas. Yes, that's the text that says that's why Syria was an improper kibush, because he didn't have the authorization of the Sanhedrin, and they wouldn't authorize his war because of Mohammed's Rishus. What do you mean? First you have to take care of Mohammed's mitzvah, then after you do all Mohammed's mitzvah, then you do Mohammed's Rishus. Yeah, but they held that it wasn't permissible. When he waged war by Syria, it wasn't permissible. There were other wars that he did get the approval of the Sanhedrin, but the one on Syria didn't get the Rishus. Somebody has to present.
And their whole agreement was only
kind of see whether it makes sense to them.
What does that end up?
Yeah. That's what I said. The Dovid war, right? Dovid war by Aram Tova was the Issa. That he had no permission to wage that war. That was Balderin. That's what they say. Others were Mohammed's Harishur and Ashur. The Sanhedrin did give permission, but the war that he waged against Aram Tovah, as he says, in the name of the Supreme, was the Issa. He had no Hesed, does he? Okay, but then it doesn't make clear as Hesed. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So this Gemara tells that he waged many wars over the Melech. So most of the time they gave him authorization. And that time when he waged war against Aram Tovah, Tosis is supposed to say that that was Gomidishu, that that was Babir. Tosis finds that that's why it's called Kibush Yochid, that he did it all on his own without the authorization of Sanhedrin. So if you don't have the permission of you, there's no go. So there's no Hesed, there's Mamish and Isa Ritzicha.
Did it
require the Sanhedrin,
or the...
Not to make
law, but it's for a further project.
I'm not sure the Sanhedrin... The Sanhedrin, as we mentioned before, the Sanhedrin has two functions. Number one, they pass in all the major shrines, the Maser of Tel Shalaka. Number two, they're like the Congress that they represented, the Asakol. So if you want to determine whether Bal Yisrael is interested in making peace with Egypt or not, you have to consult the Sanhedrin, not as Talmid HaKham as London, but as the parliament or the Congress is representing the HaKol. Yeah, they should consult. If you don't have a Sanhedrin, you don't have. You have no grip. But if you have, you should consult. Okay. Why did they give him permission to wage all the other Mohammed Hashus if he hadn't conquered all of Eretz Yisrael yet? Why did they only get the Chon and Aram Tova? As they said, they're only thinking about that they were angry. They didn't give permission because some of the problems were called Al Rashta. What about all the other Mohammed Hashus that he waged? But they did give permission. That's a very good question. I don't know. So maybe the way you suggested that this would lead to the, they thought that these Mohammed Rishus would lead to giving the ability.
Another one, maybe those other people help the people from elsewhere or somewhere.
Maybe.
Like today you had other countries who helped the terrorists, so there maybe it was also like this. Maybe
yes.
So take care of them.
Then later he'll be able to do the Mohammed Rishus. Maybe.
So the Dreiser continues that Miyad Yotzin Bachi Seifel, they try to get a plan of how to attack when they're blocking the Sanhedrin. They ask for permission from the Sanhedrin. Rashi says they ask that they should be mispalt on them, they should give a bracha, but the Pashur Shad, they ask for permission. And then we show them Borim Mitzvah. And this is all based on a prospect, this here. Amar al Yosef, my crow, where's the prospect that you learn all this out from? Then Mochem is the shoes. You have to have authorization from the Bezna Gorul and from the Urim Mitzvah, because it says, after Achi Teifel, after they consulted with Achi Teifel, then Yo, then Yo Yodah, the Yad Yosef, the Sars of Alamelech, Yo. So what does it mean? So the first person they consulted was Achi Teifel. Who is Achi Teifel? What does he represent? Zay Yoi. He is to give the plan of the attack. Okay, now I'm about that. Achi Teifel shall Yosef. Yama Mahen, Kashi Yishal Yish, the Dvar Elokim. He gave such good to all the Gehases, as Batman is consulting with the Shina, with the Urim Mitzvah. So Achi Teifel was the first one to be consulted. Is there any plan whereby they should wage war Mechemet Oshus? After he gives them a plan, then they go to the next step in Ayyobi and Ayyoda. Who is Ayyobi and Ayyoda? It's their Sanhedrin. You have to get authorization from the Sanhedrin. And afterwards it says, the Ebiyosa. Who is Ebiyosa? He was a Kohen. So what did they consult the Kohen for? Eilu Urim Mitzvah. And after the Urim Mitzvah, then they have the right to wage war. And this is the Tzav Tzav Alamela, Yoav. So they appoint the general for the army to go to wage the war to Mohammed Oshus. So the Gemara now wants to prove that this is so. So what is so? This is a Shaila. And what is so? That Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada was the Rosh HaSanhedrin, and his name appears in the Pasuk there, Dibar Yamin. Achle Achi Teifel Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada, the Yad Yosef. So what are they trying to prove now? That Bnei Yoav ben Yoyada represents the Sanhedrin, or that Yad Yosef represents the Ur Vitumim? Which is it? So that's a Shaila here, Rashi and Teifel. So Rashi learns, the Chayn Hu Oymer, we're going to prove Ev Yosef El Urim Mitzvah Lechein Ho'emer. We're going to prove that Ev Yosef was in charge of the Urim Mitzvah. How do you know? Lechein Ho'emer, as it says in the Pasuk of Benayo Ben Yoyada Al HaKreisi the Al HaPlesi. Benayo Ben Yoyada Al means he preceded the Kreisi in the place. What do you mean he preceded? It doesn't mean he was in charge of. He preceded the Kreisi place because Benayo Ben Yoyada represented the Sanhedrin. He was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. And they had to consult the Sanhedrin first, and that preceded the crazy place that refers to the Urim Thummim. At first you get authorization from the Sanhedrin, and then you get authorization from the Urim Thummim. So why the Urim Thummim called crazy a placey? That's how Rashi does. V'lama nikr, strange pshat, ben yoyada, al. Doesn't mean he was in charge of, he preceded. Al means preceded. And crazy placey is another way of saying Urim Thummim. The Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda Sanhedrin, it's wrong to say the Urim Thummim, wrong to say the crazy place. That's the way Rashi holds. That Urim Tum and Crazy Place is the same thing. Place says that Rashi is wrong. Place has a hasoga, I'm a whole safer. I'm a whole crazy place. So Rashi continues, Valama Nikra Shmam Crazy Place. Why do Urim Tum refer to with such a lashon? Because it's the highest level of Nevuah. Crazy Shikarsim Divrayim. Absolute. This is a Nevuah that's absolute. It's not contingent. It's not totally, if they'll do Shiva, they won't do Shiva. The Nevuah from the Urim Tum is an absolute Nevuah. In place he is Shemuflayim the different. That the Urim Thummim answers like they know, like they tell us that the Osius lighter. The Gemara has in Sanhedrin another thing that when you build the Beit HaMikdash, when you add on to the Beit HaMikdash, Ema Sifan Aliyah Valazaris, when you add on, when you begin to make Dushan Beit HaMikdash, you have to have a Melech and a Novi and an Urim Thummim and a Sanhedrin and a whole list of things you have to have. So the Gemara Shavuot has a machlokes Amoraim. Does it mean the effort b'chol leilu tanan? Or does it mean b'chol leilu tanan? So you have to have all of these things in order to create a Kedushin Beis HaMikdash. Or is it enough if you have one of these? So the Gemara says, look, in the beginning of the Bais Sheni, they built the Beis HaMikdash in the Bais Sheni. They didn't have the Urim Thummim. So how did they make, they didn't have a Melech either. They didn't have a Melech, they didn't have an Urim Thummim. How do they make the Bais Sheni? Isn't that itself a right? You can build the Beit HaMikdash without all of the things. So you see, Beit HaMikdash, the Gemara says not necessarily. If you hold that Kedusha Rishayim of the Beit HaMikdash was Kishalasi Mavoy, so they never had to endow it with Kedusha in the period when they built the second Beit HaMikdash. They were just giving Kedusha to the bricks, to the Beit HaMikdash. In fact, you don't need authorization from the Beit HaMikdash for. You only need supervision, authorization, if you want to give a Kedushas Makam, you want to create Kedushas Makam Yesh Miayim, you want to be mercy follow here by Allah. So the Gemara says you can't tell. And the historical fact that they built the second Beit HaMikdash you can't necessarily prove one way or the other whether you meet B'cholei L'tanan or Bechon B'cholei L'tanan. But what was it, why doesn't Gemara ask in the beginning when they built the Mishkan? When they made the Mishkan, because they had everything. So the Melech they had, Moshe Rabbeinu had a Din Melech, Vayi B'shur Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, so they had a Navi. And the Sanhedrin was Moshe Rabbeinu, had a Din of Moshe Rabbeinu and Mokamai Nalkut. They had an order to him. No, they were making an order to him. So how can there be one opinion in the Gemara Machlokes and Shulchan, whether the Echad and Kolei L'Tanan, or the Kolei L'Tanan, whether you need all, or any one of these is enough, a Melech is enough, or a Nur Metumim is enough, or a Navi is enough.
He wasn't placing on Tumim, he has God in it.
Oh, so this is a Kasha
that I've heard of. Then you don't have to have to
Metumim. If there is a Rebbe, you see from the Gemara that if there isn't this market, the Rebbe is Simcha, the Seif HaChumash, and the Meshach Hachma, the answer is like that. He says, what do you mean that you need an Ur Metumim? What does that mean? Ur Metumim means the highest level of Nebuah, like the Gemara says, she cursed in Devrayim. It gives him absolute Nebuah. He says that's what the Nebuah Moshe Rabbeinu was. Nebuah Moshe Rabbeinu was the highest level of Nebuah. So once they had Moshe Rabbeinu, not Saman Rabbeinu, they had Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the equivalent of Urim Tumim. So when they made the Mishkan, they had B'cholei L'tanan, they had everything. Even though they didn't have actually Urim Tumim yet, it wasn't made till later when they made everything else. But they had the equivalent of Urim Tumim. But in the Bai Sheni, they didn't have all of them. So that's where the Gemara has the Machlokes. So that's how Rashi reads this pasuk. Where is this pasuk? So the Yod says, the Torah says, it's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter 5. The pasuk says, the alleged pasuk says, when Yod ben Yod, Al HaKreisi Ve'al HaPleisi. He preceded the approval of the Kreisi place. In other words, he preceded the approval of the Unatom. So Tosfos has a list of kash. The extra kash is that there ain't no such pasuk. It doesn't exist. He said, they looked through the whole Tanakh, there is no... Ain't that pasuk b'shul mokhan. There is no such pasuk that says b'nei yob b'nei yob. Today the kash is, Ev Yosser HaKoyen, Ev Yosser was the only Koyen who was alive at that time. They had wiped out all the Kohanim and no Gira Kohanim. He was the only Koyen alive. So what do you have to prove? Ev Yosser, Elu Urim Etumim. The Chen Hu Oimer, we're going to prove it. That when it says Ev Yosser, he was in charge of Urim Etumim. He was the only Koyen, so of course he was in charge of Urim Etumim. What do you have to prove it for? Yes. He's the only functioning kind. He's the only functioning kind whom they could possibly hear. The place is yes. Well, you have to prove that he's the one who is in charge of the Urim Tumim. Of course he was. He was the only coin who could function as a coin. And afterwards they switched to the other group of coins, to the other family of coins. The place is time is that they don't think that Crazy at Lacey is at all referring to the Urim Tumim. So they say the whole shot is completely different. The Pasuk reads, not B'nayah ben Yoda, but Yehoyada ben B'nayahu. In Gansu Fakir. Yehoyada ben B'nayahu, ala Kresi v'ala Kresi. And Al means that he was super, he was in charge of, he was super. For indeed I got it, that when they went to wage Mohammed to Rashur's, because first he consulted Achitayfel the Yoyot, then B'nayor B'nayor the Sanhedrin, then Ev Yosser is doing with him, then starts over, then they appointed a general. We're not going out to prove that Ev Yosser represents Urim Tumim. No! He was the only one who could possibly be in charge of Urim Tumim. We're trying to prove who was B'nayor B'nayor Yoda. So we prove it because B'nayor B'nayor Yoda was the son of Yoh Yoda. And who was he? The son of B'nayor. B'nayor B'nayor was named after his grandfather. B'nayor B'nayor Yoda, then B'nayor. So I have another passage that says, Yehoyada ben Benayahu ala Kresi ba'ala Kresi. That means that he was the Reish, our Sanhedrin, he was in charge of the Sanhedrin, our means, supervising the Sanhedrin. So we assume that Mestama ben Yehoyada was Mamala Mikrema Voisa. Mestama, his father was the Reish of Sanhedrin, when his father died, he became the Reish of Sanhedrin. So that's what we're saying. The Chen Hu Oimer, the second line on the dot, the Chen Oimer belongs earlier, belongs after Benayahu ben Yehoyada. That Sanhedrin, the Chen Hu Oimer, just like the father was the Rosh Hashanah, so the Mishtama he was the Malim in Kaimavoy. That's how Taisha sends off. They say the last three lines, the Yeshlam and the Mishtama Malim in Kaimavoy Hoya. Hey, but the other Hoya is Sanhedrin, Kamu Hoya may have. And Crazy Place refers to Sanhedrin, doesn't refer to the Urim Tumim. So what does it mean, Carson Divrei? They give up Psak. Sanhedrin gives up Psak. That's the final Psak. Kipal mincha dovel al nishpa medam medam. So it says the kamsa v'al isha alamot and go to the bed now, brother. When they give it stock, that's the end of the machlekes. That's called cursing divrayim. They give a final stock. And mushloim with divrayim, they give good stock. They give good, doesn't mean, it's not referring to the real term that it gives mushloim with divrayim, it gives al pinev. That's the atheist light up. No, it means they give unusual stock. That was the whole agarita that the Gemara quoted. Again, what is the Gemara? What is the Gemara driving at? The Gemara is, David Amel is, if Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level of Nehua, he was a highest Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu had obviously a higher level of Nehua than David Amel. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't determine when Chasdos was with the Kohen Nehua. We assume that David Amel didn't have any mechanical gadget yet to determine when Chasdos is. So how did he know when Chasdos is? The Kohen Nehua, he was a greater Navi than Moshe Rabbeinu. So to that the Gemara says, no, he had a keener. That is sin, that's how we do. And the Gemara quotes the whole agadah. The Gemara says, and how do you know that this is so? That the key, where do we get this from? Such an agadah. Where do we get such a fantastic story from? That the kina would wake him up at chatzos. He says, the Gemara continues, Am Rav Yitzchak, where did Ravidi? My cross. What is the source of this whole agadah? The pasuk in Tilin that says, Ura kibodi, ura hanegel, v'chinar, or ira shachar. The navel and the kino wake me up, the kino wakes me up, and then I wake up till I am up before the morning. So all based on that process, they have this tradition, the Shema Chassidah has this tradition, that the kino would wake up David HaMelech, who would be up before Shachar, before the Chacham Yisrael came in to speak to him.
The wind is...
It wasn't his turn on the board.
It wasn't a reward.
What means that he figured something out on his own?
I don't know.
It
was an 8. Yeah? Yeah. The remark continues with a different answer. The remark continues, no. The Yailam, David HaMelech could figure out when Chatzos was the Kohen Nevuah. David HaMelech could figure out, so we assume Moshe Rabbeinu could also figure out, because he was greater than David HaMelech. Rabbi Zeirah, Moshe Liyolam HaViyoda. So David Nami HaViyoda, he didn't need a kinar to indicate. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and David HaMelech knew, with the Kohen Nevuah. Why? He's keeping the David HaViyoda, so what did he need the kinar for? He also, because the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ura Chvodi, Ura HaNevel, the kinar. The kina should wake me up. So what did he need the kina for? He could figure out when chatzos is. The Gemara says, no, if he would be awake, he'd be able to figure out when chatzos is. But he's sleeping. So they all had a tradition that there was a kina that woke him up at chatzos. The first one, Dhamma says, if not for the kina, he wouldn't, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't figure out, and David wouldn't figure out when chatzos is. That they never had such a high level of nevuah. And this Dhamma says, no, Moshe could figure out, and David could figure out the kina and nevuah. But if he's sleeping, he doesn't have any nevuah when he's sleeping.
Why didn't you say according to the astronomy, by the situation of the stars,
you
could figure out what time it is.
So, if it's based on astronomy, so why do they assume that whatever David knew, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly knew? Well, we don't know things that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know.
I believe that, if David knew the astronomy, certainly Moshe Rabbeinu was
called Moshe
knew the astronomy was
happening. And they didn't assume that it had progressed, that they had figured out more of it. I thought the Kal V'chaimer was the Kal V'chaimer. I don't know. Everything. Some other Kal. Yeah. Doesn't he have less of an I don't know. The Gemara assumes that it's besides the other. I mean, how do they know? That's because that's Chatzos, right?
Like the
So the Gemara gives another mandama that David HaMelech knew and Moshe Rabbeinu knew. It Sort of meant to kill a halavu. So the Gemara asks, but we have a tradition where they had a kino that woke him up, kino lamalei. What do they need the kino for? We can figure out when chatzayis. The answer is not. He was sleeping. If he was awake and he was trying to figure out the kara halavu when chatzayis, he would figure it out. But if he was sleeping, so he needed the kino to wake him up. And the historian is say. Beg the Gemara's dish, once you arrive at this assumption, at this conclusion, kibbutz mashab yada, lamalei, let's kill chatzayis. So why did he say approximately kachatzayis halal? He should have said bechatzayis. Because we assume that the Rebbe Shlom told him bechatzayis. Why did he switch it? Because he wouldn't be able to demonstrate, he wouldn't be able to prove to Paro that it's chatzayis. Or how did the Gemara assume before? Moshe Rabbeinu switched it because he wouldn't be able to determine on his own when chatzayis is. He wouldn't be able to determine on his own. So the Gemara says, but if you assume that he could determine on his own, why didn't he deliver the Nebuah exactly? So the Gemara says, yeah, he could determine the Karach HaNebuah, but he wouldn't be able to demonstrate it to Paro. Paro would say, how do you know? So Moshe Rabbeinu would say, have a Nebuah. He said, how do you know that your Nebuah is true? That's what the Gemara is. And with the Gemara, Moshe Kassav, Hashem Yitzu, it's Tagnini Paro. They won't be able to figure it out. Yom Moshe Badayihu. They'll say that he's a liar. I don't say, have a Nebuah, so they won't believe him. But that's why he insisted on saying, Kehatzai.
It wasn't just things here, how we say, but a midnight, it didn't happen yet.
Yeah, happened after midnight, before they see that I, but all the firstborn died, and so what's it up to me?
Well, that firstborn got later.
Right, so you see that a lot of Russia, even when you're punishing him and he sees that everything's going wrong, he'll always find a terrorist. Right? You see, it's not true. The minute off. He won't do tshuva. He won't do tshuva. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the nevuah in a vague fashion. He didn't deliver it exactly the way he got it. Yeah. That's how the Gemara presents it. And this is Tama recommended a to Tzitzit. Yom Amar, we have a tradition that says, Masechet Berachot Tzitzit, Lama Mishan Cholama Eni Yodea. She never speak with such definite authority, with such certainty. Shemet Tzitzit, Vitayochit. Maybe somebody will catch you with an error and they'll say, oh, the guy is a faker. This last week I was telling over a story that happened years ago in the bungalow colony. We used to dive in. There was one fellow who used to drive in from New York. He just made it by the skin of his teeth. He would drive in a minute before Shkis. So they couldn't dive in. They couldn't be in Kabul Shabbos early in the bungalow colony. They hadn't gone from 15 bungalows there. So he had to wait till late. So he got in Quebec before the skin. So there was one family from Washington Heights where the people were members of the Breuer's Kehila. So there in Washington Heights, they're always Makabal Shabbos in the summertime, they always got in at 7:10. Something like that. Always 7:10. He had a Shaila, Hayesh, that he's a member of the Kehillah, and the thing is that the Kehillah is Makabal Shabbos early, so all the members of the Kehillah are bound by it, but he's not in New York, he was in Mountaindale, in the mountains. So he says, you have to be Makabal Shabbos at 7:10. Hayesh said, we're not going to be Makabal Shabbos until 8:30, so an hour and a half later. So this Balabas came to me and he asked me, I said, I don't think. So he tells me over the same shayla again. I'll explain it again, Zofri. Remember, boys, comes over the same thing. So the shayla says, you have to be conscious. I said, I don't think so. So he says, I'll explain it again. I don't understand what he wants. He tells me a third time. I said, I don't think so. So he says, I see you don't know. I'm going to call Rabbi Schwab. I called Rabbi Schwab on the telephone. Then he comes back to me and says, Rabbi Schwab said no. I said, that's what I told you. He says, no, you said, I don't think so. You're not sure. Rabbi Schwab said, no. That's what he wanted to hear. No. But that's what the Gemara has to say. Gemara has to say, even when you're asking a shayla, you should say, the CME is daiti. Say, the CME is daiti. Gemara has a lot of times ready. Ready says, ready, Aymer, Ani. Gemara has a bright, ready, Aymer, Ani. So if they're saying, what's the kasha from Yachrenim? So the Gemara says on the last day of Saita, Mishanesh, ready, but one novel. The Merabu Anasi died. So that was the end of the humility, because he was so famous for his humility. When he died, it was very noticeable that there were no more humble Talmid HaChacham. So the Achronim has Kekashu. Rebbe was noticed for his humility, and he's the only one who uses this notion, Omer Ani. What kind of notion, Omer Ani? You don't have any other time to speak like that. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, no, that we're pronouncing, the inflection is wrong. Omer Ani doesn't mean, I say, my opinion is. He would say, I think that it is, but it isn't. The other time, I would say, Osem would say, yeah, he would say, Lafi Ani is Daisy. He would always introduce his opinions by saying, Lafi Ani is Daisy. Rabbi Kotler was famous for that in Europe. When he said this year, he would always introduce, he would say the Kashis, and then he would say, Lafi Ani is Daisy, and he would start saying the term. Akidei Kach, it was so much Yodua, that was his signal of speech, So when they were running away from the Nazis and they were trying to figure out, should they go here or there, should they, what these steps was there, should they go here or there? So one of them got up in the middle and they were running away, so they say, "Vos up to Abalasi on the inside side?" That's Akadeka. That's what the Gemara has a lotion like that. The Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Kachatzoi stump," but you don't. It's not proper to speak with such precision, with such certainty all the time. It's always better to speak in a subtler fashion. That's what from down there, yeah? That's what Taisa says. How do you change the verse? I'm told them, how do you change it? But Taisa says, he can ignore it. As long as he delivers the message, he doesn't have to deliver it word for word.
Don't
want me to prove it. He said that's it. Number one,
I don't want
to tell
you that's it. That's
what?
So they can always say, no,
it's
not now.
So? Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason why. Yeah. The Gemara says a person should always speak with a slight degree of uncertainty. You shouldn't say things with such definite certainty. Shem etayach is with his ba. Shem etayach. Rabashi says, no, who says that he spoke with uncertainty? When he said kachatzai, he gave an exact, precise shear. The ma'isha shaya kachoi, the palga, Rabashi Yama, on the first white line on the Abdalid, the palga urta the place in Rabi Abbas Avikoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving this message to Paro at midnight, the night before, the night of Vedika's coming, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving this nebu over to Paro. But he said, just like now, the clock is striking 12, now it's exactly Chatzos, so Kacha Chatzos HaLayla, tomorrow night, 24 hours from now, exactly as the clock will strike 12, there will be Matzah. So he says he didn't say approximately around Chatzos, he said exactly as it is now Chatzos, definitely. The answer is he did know, and he said, Kachatosh means exactly, precisely, a Hatzos. Yes, this Nebul was given the night before. Yes, he warned them in advance, and then this Lashon of the Nebul was given the night before. Yes, this is the last Asherah. Yes, the letter says he warned them a whole week. 3 weeks, no? The letter says he warned 3 weeks for every Makkah. The letter says it was 3 weeks of warning for every Makkah. So Ravashi time is the Palgur to the place of Nagya Besahavikoi. There's a night in between the 13th and the 14th. There was another with the night of the Dikas Chomet, Holy Abbasna. Habikoi, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Palgur. Ocha Kama Moshe Yisrael. Oma Kodesh Bobo, the Macha, Kachatosh Halayla, Kiro Yitna, Ani Yosef Sechum Chan. Just like now it's exactly midnight. So tomorrow night at midnight, that's when I'm going to make the Macha Yisrael. Why does the Gemara say Allah should
be...
Right, that was the Gemara's question. Why did it change the Nebuah? We assumed that Rabbi Shlom gave a precise time, not an approximate time. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu change it? The first, the Gemara said there was a reason why he said it in a vague lashon, because he wouldn't be able to prove to Paro. And then Paro wouldn't do tshuva. Paro will say, you see, he's a faker. The first form of kill, it was fulfilled, but it wasn't the time, that one little thing. It wasn't the right time, it was a minute after Chatzos. In order to prevent that from occurring, so Moshe Rabbeinu, even though that's ridiculous anyway, but the Gemara assumes that that's human psychology, that even though the Rosh is proven to be wrong, and he's punished, and he's suffering, and everything happens, as advertised in advance, if he's going to be able to time that it's 1 minute off, he won't be chayyid of the tshuva. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, around midnight time. That's why he changed the
law.
No, he didn't want to say over the Nebuah word for word, letter for letter. He changed it, Badaska, in order that power shouldn't have a piskun test. That's how the first Madama suggested. Rabashi says, no. The word kachatzos means exactly at midnight. Just like now it's midnight, so too. Tomorrow night at midnight. The Makkah's courage
will...
No, there he came up with a din. He didn't come up with anything. He just changed it a little bit. As he said, Well, Moshe Rabbeinu tells over the dinim to Bnei Yisrael, and he recites from every word that he has to say verbatim. Had to deliver the Nevuah verbatim as it was given to him. But when he says over the Nevuah to Paras, it's only Harosh Shah. It's not that Paras is going to darshan dinim with the Yud Yomim Yisrael. It tells over the Nevuah, what's going to happen? It's some shame for Harosh Shah. He doesn't have to say over verbatim. So once the Gemara was talking about David HaMelech waking up at Chatzais and staying up all night and learning the first half of the night, the second half of the night. So the Gemara already quotes the other pasuk in Tilim. The David HaMelech composes the following Tilim: Shama Nafshi Kichosid Ani, he doubts HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should protect him and defend him because he does Amidah Chasidus. He does things unusual if Nimishur Sadin. The Gemara wants to know what Midah Chasidus is David HaMelech referring to here. So the Gemara has a machlokes. Maybe Rabbi Yitzchak had a dispute, two different interpretations, what Midas Chasidus is he alluding to. Chadam, one of these Amoraim interpreted Chacham, was obviously now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he alluded to the following Midas Chasidus. Rabbi Shalom, by Chosid Ani, don't I do things with Nimi Shulis Adin? She called Malki Mizrach HaMayr, of all the other kings in the world, sleep till late, and they stay up late, they watch the Late Late Show, whatever, they have entertainment, theater, movies, or whatever, and they sleep late in the morning, I'll show the show. And I don't do that. I go to the Nimi Shulis Adin. Even though I'm a king and I really should be able to entertain myself and stay up late and wake up late in the morning and so on, he doesn't do that. Chatzois l'alokum ha'ozes l'chol. Everybody more quotes his name in connection with the Chatzois. He says, he's davening all night, he's learning all night and so on. That was the Chassid Ami. The meanest Chassidus that he did, so much more than the other kings, is that he davens and he learns all night. The Yidach and the other Amor, maybe not Yitzchot, the other Amor interprets that he's alluding to a different meanest Chassidus. Don't I do things unusual for a king? She called out in that Mizrach, a mayor of all the other kings of the world, Yashim Agudas Agudas Bichvaidam. What do? They sit with the Kavadika Degadim and the Kavadika Thrones, and they deal in state affairs and philosophical things, whatever. Zani, and I do dirty work with my hands. Zani, Yodai Muluch Lachais, the Dam, or the Shvir, or the Shilya, the women come with Shilas. Whether this is a maritohar, a maritomi, whether she's a suulabaila, whether it's a gris, less than a gris, whatever. So he's metapolin this himself. He had a lot of rabbonim paskin, and whenever there wasn't enough rabbonim, he would also paskin. Well, the shvir of the shulya. Shvir of the shulya means, Rashi explains the shulya is the sack that the baby comes in. So the Mishnah says in Nida, that ain't shulya below the lot. That if there is a shulya, we assume there must have been a vlad and a vlad dot. It's a shayla whether a woman has a tumas yoledes or not. You don't know whether was it a zalka she was pregnant with, was it in a cave, or does she have a tumas the tower of a zalka in a cave, does she have to bring a carbon yoledes or not? So he was paskin on all the shayla. So the shvir means the fetus before it's fully developed. It's called the shvir. First it's a tiny little piece of flesh, and then it develops an inch on an inch. And then the body starts to shape on it after so many weeks and so many weeks and so on. So that's called a shvir. You have to sometimes look at the shvir to determine whether it's a shvir merukam or a shvir shein merukam. The halacha that after 40 days is a vlad and before 40 days is not, that's not precise. It's not that after 40 days is the vlad and before 40 days is not a vlad. It's my biyam. After 40 days, it depends whether it's merukam or not. So the Gemara says in Nida that we're machmer on that, that whenever the pregnancy was more than 40 days, we declare in the Chumrah that it was a vlad. But this man David, they weren't machmer on that, unless it's for picking up bed purposes. You don't say, unless a woman lost a pregnancy, she had a miscarriage, and then afterwards she has a baby boy. They don't say that if she was pregnant the first time for more than 40 days, and she had a miscarriage, then the next vlad doesn't have to pick in a bed. No, that's going to be lakuba. You have to determine whether the first vlad that she had the miscarriage on was a shvir merukam or shvir shein merukam. If it's less than 40 days, nothing to discuss. For sure it's not a vlad. My ba'alma. If it's more than 40 days, that's 42nd, 43rd, 44th day. Around then, that's when the rikum of the surah evorim, the surah evorim starts to develop on this tiny little piece of flesh that's only around an inch by an inch. A tiny little thing, so the shape of the head and the legs and the arms starts to get formed. So in the days of Zadam, they would pass it on a shvir. What's the shame? Aruch Mashir Shane Rubin. They didn't have the chumra that we have today based on the Amoraim and the Gemara. And whatever, it's after 40 days, you machmer that it was probably a Marukam and you give her, you make tumah. You can't talk to her like that. I'm not committed to a korban. She can't volunteer to bring the korban because she's not mechuyev. Or you let it bring the chatter. The oil she can volunteer, but the chatter she can't volunteer. You let it bring the chatter so it can oil side. She brings the chatter to Eina. So you can't just volunteer. You have to know what is Marukam, what is not. So David HaMelech says that he's not like all of the other kings. The other kings don't do any menial work. They don't do any work with their hands. They have to build the house. And the king is going to dig the ditch and he's going to make the cement and he's going to pour it in. No. He has slaves to do all that work. And David HaMelech is the other Marukam, is the dam of the shvir of the shuya. Kedei l'tahir isho b'baylo. In order to pass in Allah. And so there you can remember many years ago, held at Russia, and this Gemara, he said that the Greeks didn't believe in working with the hands. That's why they never experimented. So they figured out all of the science based on logic, philosophy, theory. Why does the fire go up? Why does the water go down? So they gave a philosophical explanation to everything. And the Chachmei HaGemara didn't hold like that. The Chachmei HaGemara believed in experimentation to find out how things work. The Gemara has a shayla whether where has the Machlokes HaTanaim. The Mishnah has the Machlokes HaTanaim. Whether Or is the Berchen, it's an Amine Dogan or not. Is it Bole de Chimus or is it Bole de Silchon? So Yishalmi Chalei Esakashi. Why did they experiment? How did they have a dispute? Why did they experiment to find out? Yishalmi says, Avali, they did experiment. And then they saw what it was, and it was half Lumi Tum Silchon and Chimus, and they had a dispute. Where did you draw the line? Between Silchon and Chimus. What do you consider Chimus? What do you consider Silchon? So the Ramban, boys, right? The Ramban in the beginning of Eilat Shreifus, the Ramban of Shabbos, and the Melchamis of Shabbos quotes that Yerushalmi and Chalas to demonstrate that the Tanaim and Yamar would never argue on something that they could simply experiment and find out what the truth is. It was like the Greeks, that they didn't believe in experimenting. They felt that working with your hands is only for the slaves. The Tanaim now, you have to work with your hands. He says that that's the Rav says, that that's the Hashidus. The Dalai Lama says, Yadim al-Khalach is the Dam of the Shmir of the Shuya. That he does work with his hands in order to ascertain whether it's Dam Tohar, Dam Tomei, Dam Tar, Shir, Merukam, Eina Merukam, Shuya, but there is a blood, not a blood. Can't just philosophize, and I love you. You have to know the facts.
The only word is Chagal criticized in Kamiya, but he said that he
was doing a kind of thing. He's always mastering
the
title of the
art. Same type of thing.
Good cash. So David HaMelech, David HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give him a special protection. Shama Nafshi Kichosed Ani, in the schus of the Midas Hasidus that he does. V'lo Yoi, Chemi says it a lot of times. Chemi 10th Pratikus says, Zoch Lila Kaya Kaila, this should be Farechim Ben Zosun. David HaMelech said it once, I don't know, still a good chance. So David HaMelech says in the schus that he does, the Midas Hasidus, things that really don't pass for HaMelech, but he goes, as a Melech, he goes with the Yeshua Tadim. He says, every time I have a Shiloh Sophic, I ask my Rebbe. And if the Rebbe says that I talk to him wrong, I back out. And even though it's a tremendous embarrassment for me, I'll follow the psalm that he said. He says, I'm not going to cover it up if I made a mistake. I'll be Moedol Emes. The Yom Aloyim, I always ask Mephibosheth Rabbi. He is his Rebbe, but he calls him by his first name. Why? Because he says, Mephibosheth Rabbi. He called him Rabbi. Now that he's going to Rebbe by his first name, that's what you say. But let's say his name is David. We call him Reb David. But if you call him Reb David, then it's Moses. We call him David, that's all. But you call him Reb Loi, like Adani Moshe Kloi. There's only one brings the riot. Yeshua ben Nun says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adani Moshe Kloi. How can he call Moshe by his first name? David is Reb to the end. He goes there, Adani Moshe. If you say Reb Moshe, or Adani Moshe. Also Mutter. Also Mutter. If you say the title with it. The same thing, Abba Chalasta or Abba Yoshi, not that I refer to your father by his first name, but if you say, my father Chalasta, my father Yoshi, then it's Mutri, you said, my father. You just say, Yoshi says, and everybody knows, Yoshi is your father. That's not Derecha, but if you say, my father Yoshi, then it's Mutri. He says, Mephibosheth Rabbi, he would refer to the Rebbe by his name, but he called him Rebbe, Rebbe Mephibosheth. He would ask, Yofi Dante, did I pass him correct? Yofi Chiyafti, did I Mechayet properly? Yofi Zikesi, did I pass it properly? Yofi Tirati, Yofi Tinesi. And if the Rebbe said no, so I would reverse the pshat. I would go back, call up the Balabas and tell him, I made a mistake. I consulted him already. He said the pshat is wrong. So Lo Boshtin, I wasn't embarrassed to be my Dalai Emes. I wasn't embarrassed. But he didn't, the Boshtin didn't stop him from reversing the pshat. He made a mistake. But Lo Boshtin. I'm not sure whether I didn't micro.
Huh?
Yes. What happened to the dinner bar? I'll offer this name rabbit. He considers me to be both. He says, but how can he start skin the mock and rabbit?
Tomorrow
Harrison has a lot of clawdom about this. There it is. A lot of rules and regulations about when are you not submitted to fasting the mock and rabbit. A lot of dinner about more. I'll offer this name. I don't think so. He didn't have to consult it at all. Should have assumed that he didn't make a mistake.
How could he mock a quarter? Maybe the quarter can remember a count for 4 cathedrals.
But it's an issue of learning. So what was the Michael has covered here that he went to consult every week or two? He would consult with the Rebbe. He asked over all the shaitas that he passed from that week. He didn't have to. Other rabbanim don't consult the one. Like I got smicha and I passed my shaita. I go back and I ask the one who gave me smicha all the shaitas that I had, whether I passed them right. I don't do it. The midas chasidus, but I'm not a midas. At the end of the week, at the end of the month, he would go consult with his Rebbe in his devotion to tell him over all the stalkim that he gave him. The Rebbe would say he passed me wrong. He would go tell that balabas. And he's reversing his stuff. The Rebbe gives up that it was wrong.
I was learning with Rebbe also. Probably didn't already ask him Shabbos. He probably learned with him also.
Yeah, but the Rebbe didn't have my Rebbe off this year. I'm done. There are a lot of rules. Doug DeGemara, Micro, where is there a passage that indicates that this is so? Micro, that he was talking in Halacha and he would reverse his talking and he wouldn't be held back by embarrassment. So the Pasuk, he wouldn't hesitate to reverse his stock because of embarrassment. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk also from Tehillim, but Dabar Beit Yisrech and David Melachim Delo Evosh, and he's not afraid of the embarrassment. When he talks and learning, he's not afraid of the embarrassment that he's going to have to reverse his stock. And then the Gemara says, that's exactly why the Rebbe was called Lefi Boishish. Really he had a different name, Ish Boishish. Tana says in the Baruch Lama, Nifik Baruch Shishmael, he's Baruch Shishmael. So why do we call him as a nickname? Well, Lama Nifik Shishmael, Nifik Baruch Shishmael, it wasn't his real name. So in the Baruch Shishmael, David Baruch, and sometimes David Baruch would be embarrassed when he would have to reverse the stuff. That's why we call him Nifik Baruch Shishmael. From his mouth, when he was talking against David, David would reverse the stuff.
Who doesn't mean negative
malachim? No. I thought that means in contrast to the other malachim, Nizam and Myra, who are not the top of at all in these kind of things. In detailed shilas, as opposed to other things who deal only in fancy things. He deals with
the first of Shabbos. Don't ask me. How would you learn with that word? I always learn with that word. Even in the midst of other kings, I would tell them what our is, but the way I do it, and I would be ashamed.
Positive. He's not afraid to be a prolegi in the presence of God. Yeah. But I think here, I mean, Adam is seven negative malachim as opposed to the other kings. The Gemara said that unlike all the malachim Israel Hamayra, that they are not metapolim. He is. And then for Layevish is a separate thing, the second part. The Yevish, and I don't and I don't hold myself back because of Busha from reversing a psak. If you see Busha sends in a strong, he'll back down. And because of this, that he was Maidal Emes, when he had a psak that he would reverse, he would be Maidal Emes. So the Gemara says, one of his sons was Kilov. What kind of a name is Kilov? That's also a nickname. And Rashi quotes the psukim from Navi to demonstrate that that son's name was really Daniel. So why is he called Kilov as a nickname? Ram Neshma Kilov, Shemachim Penemni Fi Doshes Baal Lachir. He was Zechat. David was Zechat had a son who was so sharp in learning that he outshined David's Rebbe. All of Amish Malim Lachat Masbench on him. Tehillah was revenge, but that's the Tehillah. That's the Tehillah. The person is such an Ishremes that he suffers embarrassment or what's talking, he'll reverse the psak when he hears that it's wrong. The Gemara in Gittin speaks about Talmud Chacham who passed and then he realized that he makes a mistake. So the Gemara says, Eilan Moim Al Gal Lacha, then came Nishra Bat Chila. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk Nishana, and Hashem Azot Tachas Yodecha. That if a person passed in one way and then they tell him that he made a mistake, he's going to really stand on his head to try to figure out that he didn't make a mistake. So he's going to, and then when he realizes that he made a mistake, he's going to work through that Indian very, very well. So the person is nichshal on a dvar aloche, then he's really going to be oimid al dvar aloche. That's how the Gemara says. So the Gemara there speaks about different tamaroim. Rava, you have a lot of times in the Gemara, Rava would get up in front of the balabatim, and he would say, dvar shamayit l'snechem tol sein diyodi. He would admit that he made a mistake, he talked in one way, and then he really touched yet, he made a mistake. So the Rashbor there in Gitt Mikosa Yerushalmi. Yes, this is a wonderful mila. Intellectual honesty is very, very important. Especially for Paschim and Shilas, that a person Paschim one way, he shouldn't just insist on defending his position even when he knows that it's wrong. He should try to figure out maybe it was right, but if he sees that he's wrong, he has to be Maida Lemma that it's wrong. But if a person backs out twice, as a person Paschim is also, then he reverses it, he says Mutta, then he reverses it, he says also. That's the right the quote of Yisham, it's just a glatta today. It's not intellectual honesty, because you can make a mistake once. So you say, Vasha Maitre is Mechim Tol Sein Diyodi. Then the guy reverses his stuck again. So why didn't he work it out? When he realized that he made a mistake, why didn't he work it out then? That's not called intellectual honesty. That's called total dishonesty. That's what the Rashi quotes in Yisham. But a Chacham who backs out twice, the Yisham attacks him. But that's ridiculous. Sometimes people do that. So we shouldn't have those people silent. But they keep on backing out. But they're not reliable. Shaul HaMelech, yeah. I think so. Oh, Yodeshi.
Another Mr. Boshi.
The Gemara is referring
to the same as Moshe.
But the same as Moshe.
The same was the one who went to with Absalom.
Mr. Boshes was the one who killed himself later on. Mr. Shalom didn't want to listen to him. But that Mr. Boshes is not the same location. Mr. Boshes is not the same location. And about such a situation that a person has a son who's so bright and learning Torah, Shlomo HaMelech refers to his brother. No, Kilov was his brother. He says, B'ni, in Chacham, Lidcho, Yismach Lidi Gamoni. Another part of Chacham B'ni, that's it. When a person has a child who's very sharp in learning, so this will
level
the score for the disadvantage that he suffered by his in a happy way.
But the Moshe didn't come to David and tell him that he did the wrong thing. So it was false. So why did you call
the
girl
to the Moshe? No, just because that he suffered the journey, that he had a reverse of stock. And later, when he had a son who was so sharp in learning, he was very happy. Don't worry about it. The beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Rashi has a comment from the Medrash, and the first part, why does it say Lech Lecha? What does the word Lecha mean? So Rashi quotes it, say, Rosko, Lahan, Rosko.
So if you mind the song, right?
No. Rashi has been omitted. So the Rav pointed out the Arachaim, and that pasuk has another comment, a different interpretation. That Lech Lecha has a very interesting shot. He says if you look in the Pesukim, it says that we got the shot based on the Pesukim later. It says that when Avraham Avinu went there, it's because he took Lot with him. It's Lot and Achiv, they're traveling, then they had a fight. Then they separated. You go this way, I'll go this way. Then when they separated, then it says, Hashem and Perik Yud Gimel Pasuk Gizal. Hashem Amar Al Avraham Acharei He Poriz Lot Me Imo. Why does it say, if the Lot left? What is the significance of that phrase? So the Aram HaKadosh says that that's shot Lech Lecha. I want you to go all by yourself. He says, Mimolad Lecha, Beis Avicha. Don't go with anybody from the family, leave everybody behind. But this Lot is a Tacham Gitshet. He wants to be through. He wants a little of his cousin, so Avraham Avinu is going to kick him away. He's going to leave him there, yeah, but he's not. Rata Rachman, so he's not the kind of the rule of the Rabbani Shlom. Rachman is the specific whether Avraham Avinu had Rachman, hadn't told Avraham Avinu had Rachman, and light, or he didn't fully understand, he wasn't quite as fully what the Tzibay Hashem was, Lech Lecha, go all by yourself. But whatever it was, Lamaita, he took light with him. So the calls man that light was with him, light was Akhnat the Tzadik. The Tzibay continues to say. Called man that light was with him, he didn't have the nevuah. Rabbi Shlomo said, go ahead and show him, and I'm going to show you something very special and so on. He doesn't show him anything. No big deal, fatima. He wrote for everything is going wrong. So after he finally shakes off light, the next passage says, that Hashem spoke to Avraham Avinu after he started loving him, and he's talking now all by himself, without all the other people. Then he gets the nevuah, he's giving him Eretz Yisrael to make a kinyan, it's going to be the Yama Nisqa, everything was given to him. It's a lesson for us also. Everybody in our generation is engaged in Kiru. A lot of times there are people who are not strong, we have them all the time. The Gevaldige Mitzvah is very important. A lot of times they have a shakas with non-Jews, the Klal. Totally, people are not even Jewish, or people are not even interested in becoming Bavli Shiva, Reform Jews and so on. We have to realize that there are a lot of moments in life that it's very important to be his Beidavus, to be by yourself without all of these people. It's important to be with them as much as we can. But it's important that in certain points in life we have to do things on our own without all of these things. So that's how the Arachaim interprets this passage by Avraham Avinu.